Is there such thing as being too chilled?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. And the playoffs are definitely getting interesting. We've got the second round moving forward with some interesting results clearly right across the NBA. We're going to be talking about Monday's games in today's show, and that's both of the Eastern Conference series in the second round, which both could be over after Monday. So we'll talk about that from a DFS point of view.
Let's get to it
indeed. Michael Bolton, we will start with the first game of the day. It is the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. It's game four. The Celtics lead it 3-0. When I did my series predictions, I did predict that the Celtics would win 3 games. I just unfortunately had the Sixers winning the series in 7, so that's looking unlikely at this point. The Celtics have been fantastic in every game, although we can't ignore the fact that in Game 3 especially, the Sixers did have some just mind-bogglingly batshit crazy turnovers to finish the game, but again, taking nothing away from Boston, they were fantastic. But just the mistakes from Philadelphia combined with the wizardry of Brad Stevens' coaching and the absolute hardness that this Celtics team plays with got them over the line to get a pretty much unassailable 3-0 lead. Jaylen Brown still dealing with this hamstring injury. He's coming off the bench. He's limited in his playing time. They said he's going to play in game four, but they also put out the game note saying that he was questionable. So I would imagine that he's still going to remain off the bench and still be limited and not be playing high 30s in minutes, probably, you know, high 20s, low 30s. Yeah, maybe pushing 30 might even be too far for Jaylen Brown. In terms of their rotation, it was fairly steady. We saw Greg Monroe out in game three. Semi Ojeleye came in and played 4 minutes. But if neither of those guys played at all in game four, I wouldn't be surprised. Horford, Rozier, Tatum, they continue to play excellent basketball while Baines is doing his job on Joel Embiid. From the Philly point of view, again, a fairly stable rotation. Big minutes for Embiid, for Benny Simmons, for JJ Redick, for Šarić, but Bob Cove struggled once again, missed all 8 of his shots. He's been so up and down in this series. He had 1 point. He was benched down the stretch for Marco Bellinelli. He had a true shooting of 6% in this game. Really, really struggled. But the last time he struggled, which was game one, he then backed it up with a 40-minute performance in game two. So it's going to be interesting to see how they use that, whether they get 36 minutes out of Bellinelli again, another 27 out of Ilyasova. That's really the only inflection point in this Sixers rotation, is what happens with Covington's playing time. Does it go back up to regular minutes, or is he sort of so out of sorts that the minutes get reduced and we get Bellinelli in there for big chunks of it, as we saw here in game three that the Celtics won in overtime? So really, it was an astounding performance from Boston once again, as they, and it's so amazing that the two teams in the Eastern Conference who took their series in the first round to 7 games are both now 3-0 up in round two. Just a really weird stuff going on. You don't see that too often happen in the playoffs in the NBA. Let's look at this game now. The Sixers are favored by 6.5 points, and the total is 204.5. That's the lowest total of the day. The Cavs-Raptors game is a much higher total. Injury-wise, it's really only Jaylen Brown. And again, I do think that he will play, and he will come off the bench, and he will play not his usual load of minutes. The point guards in this one, looking at the FanDuel pricing first, Terry Rozier is up at 8,900. I think that's too high. In 44 minutes in game three, he only put up 37 points. He did struggle a little bit as opposed to the first 2 games, and he's nowhere near the same sort of level of player on the road as he is at home. And game four, of course, will be on the road in Philadelphia. So I just don't think that that's the sort of salary that you want to be spending up on. I think that you need to be looking in other directions for your point guards apart from Terry Rozier. TJ McConnell's at 3,000. You've got Shane Larkin at 2,500. I don't really see either of those guys as being excellent point guard options either, with the limited minutes that they will play. At shooting guard, you've got Redick at 5,900. And I think that's, you know, really strong for cash, a solid floor. Maybe he doesn't have a very high ceiling, But I think when we look at that as a floor play, Riddick is pretty good at that price, while Ballinelli's at 4,000. And Marco played a lot of minutes in Game 3, only posted 20 FanDuel points, more of a tournament guy, if anything, but really not someone I'm relying upon heavily. And Marcus Smart at 6,200, that's too high to rely upon, but if Jaylen Brown, if they decide he can't go, then I think using Smart would become an option in that case. As for Jaylen, he's at 5,400. Actually did post 34 points in Game 3, and that's a pretty solid price for Brown. I could see using him. I would feel a little bit cautious about going with him in cash, just given the hamstring concern, but if he's fine to play and they say he's going to play high 20s in minutes, it's not a bad one, especially given how cheap that salary is. For the small forwards, you've got Bob Covert, 6,700. Again, as I said, completely up and down. You want nothing to do with him in any sort of cash format, I don't believe. Always can throw him into a tournament, but at that price, I just don't see it as being a great option with, you know, sky-high upside, given how things have gone. While Jayce Tatum is at $7,000, I would be absolutely fine with that in cash. I think it's strong for cash. He's been really strong over the last 4 to 5 games. He can always throw up a stinker. We've seen that a couple of times in the Milwaukee series, but I feel okay about using him here. I also like Marcus Morris at $5,000. It's a good price for Morris. I feel like he gets to that cash level fairly consistently in that 24 to 26 point range. He can go higher, maybe not too much higher, but I do like Marcus at that price. While Benny Simmons is at 9,800. Has struggled a little bit against Boston, but in saying that, he still dropped in 43 points in Game 3 after a couple of poor ones, especially Game 2 earlier on. In 9,800, it's a fair chunk, and I don't think I'd be willing to use him in cash with that FanDuel pricing. On some of the other sites, he is cheaper, and he looks like a better option there. I'm not sure I'm ready to go in at 9,800, but the minutes were fine, 43 minutes, a point per minute's not bad production. It wasn't far off where he needed to be, but I'm not looking at him as a cash guy. Šarić at 6,500, struggling a little bit himself, but still giving you 30 on most nights. It's fine, it's not blowing you away or anything along those lines. While Ersan Ilyasova is at 4,400. He had a strong Game 3 with 28 points, but that's not going to be a necessarily regular occurrence, and it's more of a, you know, tournament guy, but again, not a highly recommended one. Love Al Horford here, 7,200 for Al. He's killing it. He's averaging 37 over his last 5 games. That's exactly what you want at that salary. He has been unbelievable for the Celtics through the playoffs and in this series. Love using him here, while Embiid's at 10,300. And I feel good that Embiid's going to get 50 basically every night. And he still really hasn't had a real huge dominant performance and getting you 50 most nights. So I think that he is absolutely fine to use at that center spot as well. Bainesy's up to 3,900. And I think that takes away really much of the appeal of what Baines can provide, just because if he was down at this at a lower salary, maybe a 2,500 salary, you could consider that. But I don't think that he's a guy that you should be looking at overly strongly as a DFS option. If you look at on DraftKings, things are a bit different. Bob Covers at 5,300, so that really heightens the appeal in tournaments, and Simmons at 8,600. I'm all over that for cash for Simmons at 8,600. Šarić, Redick, Embiid, they are all fairly strong cash players, as is Horford and Tatum. I think Rozier and Smart still like FanDuel as your tournament guys. Terry's at 8,200. And again, I just have concerns about some of the consistency that he does show. But the most important differences here is the drop in price for Simmons and the drop in price for Covington, which makes Simmons more of a cash guy and Covington more of a tournament guy onto DraftKings. Jaylen's at 5,700, so his appeal is even less, I believe, on DraftKings than what it is on FanDuel. If you look at it over on Yahoo, you got Rozier, who comes in at 32, and I like Rozier at 32. A much better option for him over there on Yahoo as opposed to on DraftKings and FanDuel. I like Embiid quite a bit as well. I think Simmons is overpriced. I think Tatum's probably a bit overpriced on Yahoo too. Covington in that tournament mode. Redick is fine for cash on Yahoo. And Smart at 19 has a little bit of tournament appeal there also. I think Horford at 29 is not bad. Not the best, but not bad. Very little, you know, in terms of bargain options on Yahoo for this game. I think Yahoo in general, that the slate's going to be quite a tight one to use. It is going to be not ideal. So probably one of those ones where you want to limit your exposure when you're looking over at Yahoo for DFS action on Monday. Let's go on to the next game. We're going to talk Raptors and Cavs. Now, much like the other series in the East, the Cavs are up 3-0. And LeBron James is just ludicrous at this point.
LeBron James.
He is... Look, the shots that he makes and takes to win that game on that shot, it was an off-balance, one-footed, one-handed, running the wrong direction, bank off the glass, full-court drive. It was just, it's craziness. And you just watch him and you go, it's going in. And it goes in and you go, "This." I just laughed. I just went, this is ridiculous. This guy is crazy. I've said it plenty of times before. I think LeBron is... It is at least an equal to Michael Jordan in terms of greatness of player. It's amazing watching him. And Toronto, man, it just must be completely heartbreaking to see this guy just rip your heart straight out of your beating heart straight out of your still alive body every single year. And he continues to do it. I don't think there's anything the Raptors need to do in terms of blowing it up. What are you going to do? Well, what can you possibly do to blow it up to get better? Like, it's just not going to happen. Some curious decisions from Dwayne Casey, and he has reverted to some of the shit Dwayne Casey in these playoffs. DeMar DeRozan didn't play at all in the fourth quarter, which I thought was curious. He did struggle, and he does have his struggles at times, but yeah, he didn't play at all and ended up with just 28 minutes in this game. Other rotational stuff, Serge Ibaka came off the bench and had one of his better games, 11 points with 4 blocks, and they started Freddie VanVleet, who played 33 minutes and didn't do a huge amount. I don't know if they'll go back to that lineup in game 4. I would imagine they will. The other positive thing I thought was the minutes that the Jedi, OG Anunoby, played.
Hello there.
33 minutes guarding LeBron, did as good a job as you could possibly do on LeBron, and LeBron still had 38, 6, and 7, and that's just how good he is. But Anunoby, a guy I've been touting a lot throughout the season, I think he's going to be a really good fantasy player in a few years' time once he gets a little bit more offensive responsibility, and he's showing what he can do defensively here as well. The other thing we saw in this game is that Kevin Love really started to cause an issue for Valanciunas, and he played under 20 minutes. Jakob Poeltl out of the rotation completely, so we saw a lot more Ibaka at center, OG at the 4, eliminating DeLon Wright, almost out of the rotation, down to 8 minutes. So a lot of changes here for Toronto, and whether that all sticks for Game 3, it remains to be seen. I think it probably will, and I do think that the Valanciunas minutes are always in flux or in doubt, with A, Casey as the coach, and with Love as the opposition center, given the struggles that he can cause. On the Cleveland side from game 3, it was a lot more of the same. That same starting lineup with George Hill there. He played 35 minutes. It looks like he's fine from the back injury and is going to be playing those big minutes. Tristan Thompson back under 20 minutes again, while Jordy Clarkson and Rocket Rodney Hood are playing very, very sparingly in this series and throughout this playoffs. And Larry Nance Jr., out of the rotation entirely, which again is somewhat surprising, I think. If we look at it from a DFS point of view, the Cavs are favored here by 6 and the total is 214 points. The Cavs looking to close out the series. I think that this is a matchup where you can go real cheap in the point guards on this slate in general. On FanDuel, you got Fred VanVleet at 38 and Georgie Hill at 4,300. And I'd be happy plugging both of those guys in. Now, it's not that they put up big numbers in the last game. VanVleet had just 11 points and Hill had just 16 points, but I think both of these guys can exceed 25. And provide that value, enabling you to get these really high priced guys like LeBron, who's priced completely out of his ass in this game. And that's going to be the concern there of how you can fit him in. But you could do it by putting those guys in. If you want to go a bit more expensive, Kyle Lowry at 8,300. You know, 40 points from him seems like about a realistic expectation. And that's totally fine at that salary. Well, DeLon Wright at 4,000. Very, very hard to use him. 9 impossible. For the shooting guards, Kyle Korver's at 4,600. I don't really like it at that price. It's a $200 increase from game 3. He had 25 points, and that's fine, but it's not high ceiling, and the floor's not all that high either. Although I much prefer using Korver in cash than I would say the plumber, J.R. Smith, who's just not consistent at all. As for the plumber at 4,500, that is tournaments only, and I don't feel good about it. Well, DeMar at 8,700 obviously struggled in game 3. I think that's probably a little bit too high for DeRozan. If he was coming in at 7,800, I'd say, look, you know what, get back on the horse, let's go. But at 8,700, there's just too much of an element of risk there. And honestly, like, is his ceiling high enough to actually spend that much money on DeRozan? I tend to think no. The Rocket and Jordy Clarkson, I don't think you can use either of those guys unless you just want to get really wild and throw a $2,500 hood into a GPP lineup. I don't think it should happen. at small forward. CJ Miles played a lot more minutes in game three. He's at 3,700. He's always an interesting tournament guy. He can get hot. And if they're going to play him 30 plus minutes, and that's an interesting scenario. While LeBron's at 14,500. That is extraordinarily high, and I don't think that it's necessarily a good cash play. He's killing it, clearly, but he only had 64 points in the last game. Not enough at 14,500. He's averaging 65 over the last five. Not enough at 14,500. But you could still throw him into a tournament and maybe hope for an 80 or 90 pointer, which he does on occasion. The Jedi at 3,700, OG Anunoby, 26 points in the last game. I think he is worth throwing into a tournament. If they give him 30 plus minutes again and he hits a couple of threes, he can very easily get past that number. Kevin Love's at 7,800. I'm all about Kevin Love there. Really starting to get his groove back pretty consistently, which is good for him and for this Cavs team. While Ibaka at 4,700, that price is really appealing, and he played well off the bench. I think he's an excellent tournament play, but I'm still not ready to trust him in cash. Siakam's not really happening. Well, Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
He's at 4,000. I actually don't hate using Jeff Green for cash. He's getting minutes. He can get you around 20 most nights. That's not a bad situation to be using a guy in to try and get that consistency. As for centers, Tristan Thompson, no. And Valanciunas at 7,400. I find that really, really hard to consider him. You're better off going with Embiid or Horford from the other game rather than throwing a Valanciunas in there. I just think that, yeah, tournament maybe, but the minutes are more likely to trend down than trend up for him. On DraftKings, again, a similar story. Van Vliet and Hill are your good cheap point guard options. Miles at 3,500 is also worth looking at. LeBron at 12-1 in a much better spot. Love that for cash. That's almost an anchor type play. Love Lowry and DeRozan at 75. So he's come down, and that's the sort of price I'm talking about if I want to have more reliability with DeMar DeRozan. So I'd be happily using DeMar over on DraftKings. The Jedi at 3,400 is okay as well for a tournament, as we talked about. And then lastly, on Yahoo, way more value in this game on Yahoo than the first one. Van Vliet, Hill, Korver, all like those players as cheap ones. Love, Lowry, DeRozan, James. They're all cash viable guys as well. And then you've got Valanciunas and Miles and the Jedi as well as some tournament type players. So if you're stacking games, I think this is the one to stack, especially on Yahoo, where the value is more in line with giving you best results as opposed to how it looks for that first Boston and Philadelphia game. All right, that does it for another one of these podcasts. Remember that when we don't have the two-game slates on, we'll be doing NBA draft recaps from the 2017 draft, talking about dynasty and future value of those players, which in what was a really stacked draft class. And then once the draft lottery is done, we'll be doing some season recap podcasts with myself and some of the other Basketball Monster staff members, Greg and Kyle and Matt. We'll be jumping on to do those ones. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating, reviews are great. Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, you can find us on all those places. And of course on YouTube, where you should go ahead and hit that subscribe button, like it, share it with your friends, and leave a comment below. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jawan Evans.